Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Rod. And can I say, Rod is very courageous. I get to speak in lots of different places. After this, I'll be going and addressing... I'll be here for a couple of days, but then I'm going and addressing the Grafton Synod, as one bright spark said. Very similar group to who I'm talking to tonight. And so I get to speak in lots of places. I don't normally get an opportunity to do what I'm doing tonight. So we'll see how it goes and let the let those who have ears, let them hear. I hope that you got your little pack. I'm going to refer to one of the things in a little while. But what I want to do tonight is I want to share three stories with you. The first story is about a group of people. I know there's only one silhouette on the screen, but it will be made known in a little while. It's about a group of people who met recently, or a little while ago. They gathered on a very cold and wet night in Sydney, which is quite normal at the moment, in the Sydney Cathedral. The group that was made up of a number of people, there was a minister from Bendigo who just moved to Sydney. There was a retired bishop from the Gippsland area. There was the son of a bishop, a previous bishop of Bendigo. There was a handful of clergy, and there was a good number of faithful lay men and women. They met together in the Sydney Cathedral with one purpose: to see the gospel of Jesus on the other side of the sandstone curtain. Story one. Story two is about the family that said no. The man in this family, he is a chaplain, Christian chaplain. His job was coming to an end. He had to find another role. He was offered a ministry opportunity, and when he heard what it was, he said no. He was encouraged to at least go home and talk to his wife about it. She heard about it, and she said no. Their reason? Well, it was in another state. They had five young children, two with special needs. The third story is about a tractor driver. Technically, an ex-tractor driver, because they are now an ordained clergyman who was once in this diocese. It won't be hard to guess who the third story is about, but anyway, who was once in this diocese, but is no longer. When he finished college, surprisingly, the bishop sent him to Colorinobride. The bishop of the day, Rod's father, used to say that bishops always send either the troublemakers or the ones they don't know what to do with out to Colorinobride. George? Yeah, it's changed. After a number of years, he went on, this ex-tractor driver went on to Gyra, from the hottest, flattest part of the diocese to the highest, coldest part of the diocese. And after 10 years in the diocese, disappeared. So why have I told you these three stories? I'm glad you asked that question. It's why I'm here tonight. Let me tell you who those stories are about. When I say that 26 people met recently, recently is a very relative term. They met 103 years ago on a cold, wet night in the Sydney Cathedral, because the rest of the story is true. And that group of people met, a retired bishop from Gippsland, a minister who'd moved from Bendigo to Sydney, the son of a Bendigo bishop, a handful of clergy, and a whole lot of faithful lay people. They were concerned about the people of Australia from the end of the railway track. Obviously, the railway track didn't go as far in those days. Those who... That the gentleman in the picture is a gentleman called S.J. Kirkby, Sidney James Kirkby, who was there that evening. He became the very first national director of Bush Church Aid, although they called him organising missioners in those days. And so for 103 years, BCA from that time has been going the distance to regional, rural and remote parts of Australia. As I said a moment ago, we work and partner with 16 of the 23 Anglican dioceses, plus a few other Christian organisations, Scripture Union up in the Northern Territory and Generate Ministries as well. There's been a long history of working, of partnership between BCA and the Armidale Diocese. We have Ashley now, down in South Tamworth, George and Carmel out at Walgett and Coleraine-Bray, and Lightning Ridge with the Langmeads. For 44 years, BCA's been supporting Lightning Ridge. S.J. Kirkby famously said, "What we need is not pious ninnies," which is a great word, we should use that more often. "What we need is not pious ninnies, but rather people of grace, grit, and gumption." Grace, grit, and gumption. People who are willing to take the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to the bush. People who have the grit to stick it out when times are tough. And people who have the gumption to make good with less resources in some very unique places. Let me tell you about story two. The family who said no. They are an example of grace and grit and gumption. They are Glenn and Beth McDonald and their five kids. I was visiting with them just recently in Roxby Downs. Roxby Downs, for those who don't know where that is in the middle of nowhere in South Australia. As my brother-in-law often quips, it's not the end of the earth, but you can see it from there. They are the family who said no. No to serving in Roxby Downs. But after a visit to the town, they saw the need. And they said yes. They are people of grace. And what about their excuses? The five kids, two with special needs? Well, they were recently the subjects of an Eternity magazine. You can find it online still from the Eternity newspaper. And this is what they said. This is a quote. "We never wanted education to be an idol for our kids. We never wanted education to be an idol for our kids. And when it comes to special needs, when you live in a town that is owned basically by BHP, they fly in all sorts of resources, many of which freely available, including specialists. And if the specialists, like the they don't have a paediatrician at the moment, if they don't have a paediatrician, these people of grit drive the 6+ hours to Adelaide because that's just what you do. And how do they handle the idea of ministering in a town where people fly in and out all the time, where most of the people in Roxby Downs are there for one thing and one thing only, to make money? Their congregation changes at least every 2 to 3 years. Completely. Every 2 to 3 years. They are people of gumption. They make good with very few resources in a very unique place. And the third story, that's my story. Serving here in Coleraine-Bray and Gyra for 10 years, moving on to Bendigo where I was for 12 and a half. And you might be saying, well, Greg, you've just told us about the McDonald's who've moved to Roxby Downs, to a mining town from which you can actually see the end of the earth. You moved to Bendigo, to a regional city of 100,000 people, 110,000 people, with a university and the whole lot. Surely you can't be telling us that you've done the hard yards. No, I'm not saying it in the same thing, in the same way. Yeah, I left the diocese, though. I remember saying at the time, this diocese has more than enough good people. And as I look around, I think it's done okay without me. Probably in spite of me. When I went to Bendigo, I went to what we sometimes call a mixed economy with a liberal Catholic bishop who, interestingly, I never met before I said yes to the job. Never spoke to. We had everything in the diocese from Anglo-Catholics to low church, from progressive liberals to Orthodox evangelicals. At the age of 40 when I moved, or just before 40 when I moved, I was the second youngest clergy in the diocese. There were only four of us who were under 60. It's very different now. In that diocese, I was asked to serve as an archdeacon and also on the senior leadership team. I was given the task by this liberal Catholic bishop to find clergy for the diocese. I asked him, could I go anywhere? And he said yes, as long as they understood the mixed economy of the diocese. Over time, I was elected to the bishop election committee. We only had 12 people who elected the bishop. It only had a small number of evangelicals on it. And in God's providence, we elected an evangelical bishop. Fun fact, I have elected two bishops, both named Brain. I tell you all that because there is great need outside this diocese. Sometimes when I'm in Sydney, I say on the other side of the sandstone curtain, you already know what the other side of the sandstone curtain of the Blue Mountains looks like. After talking to Rod, he allowed me to make this challenge. Here is my challenge. Give me one good, prayerfully discerned reason why you must stay in this diocese, and I will stop asking. I have more opportunities across Australia to send people to than I can point a stick at. Churches that are desperately crying out for gospel ministry. The issue I have is not money. The issue I have is people. Finding people of grace and grit and gumption who are willing to leave where they are now. In the Bathurst Diocese, at last count, there are 17 parishes without a full-time minister. We already have a couple of positions that we support in the Bathurst Diocese. We're committed to another three. So as soon as we can find someone for them, they will go. Mark Calder and myself are ready. They are Cobar, a town that has a handful of older parishioners who need caring for, and then a blank slate to basically plant a church. West Wyalong, a church in a significant town that can sort of afford a half-time person, but with the support of BCA, could put someone there full-time. Cowra, really close to Bathurst itself, needing someone with a little bit of experience who could not only be a great blessing to that town and to that church, but actually could be a blessing to the diocese and a support for the bishop so that he can actually have some senior people around him too. Well, what about Central Queensland, or the Diocese of Rockhampton, whichever you prefer to call it, which is led by another expat from this diocese, Gricey, Peter Grice, who I tried so many times to get into the Bendigo Diocese. Interestingly, the people I was good friends with in this diocese, I'm still working with, but in very different ways now. There are more opportunities for clergy up in the Central Queensland or Rockhampton Diocese right now. Emerald Blackwater, Longreach, and others. Or, what about island ministry? Does that sound attractive? Kangaroo Island. Kangaroo Island actually had evangelical ministry. It's the previous minister there, with his young family, they started a family ministry. We're looking for someone to go again who can continue that family ministry right now. Or what about King Island? Right in the middle of Bass Strait, Diocese of Tasmania. The minister is retiring at the end of the year. He and his wife have done the most incredible work getting into the school. They're an older couple, but she teaches art and he does photography, and they've had opportunities to get into the school and to begin a youth group, and there's a all ages service there. We're looking for someone for King Island for early next year. Good fishing. Or what about the Grafton Diocese? Is there anyone courageous enough to join Simon and Alison Reeves, also expats from this diocese, down in the Grafton Diocese? And I haven't even mentioned yet the Wallochra Diocese and the opportunities there across the Eyre Peninsula. Or the Diocese of the Murray. The Diocese of the Murray is the other little bit in South Australia that now has an Orthodox bishop. Or what about the Western Australia? Opportunities there as well. The thing I need to tell you is there's also an urgency. There's an urgency, particularly in Bathurst and Central Queensland. These are dioceses that need good gospel ministry before the viability of some of the parishes are too far gone. So my challenge is, give me one good and prayerfully discerned reason why you must stay in this diocese, and I'll stop asking. Each of you received in your pack a brochure called Why Serve with BCA. My challenge to you is to read it and pray about it. And I want to just highlight a couple of the reasons of why you should think about serving with BCA. The first is you won't be alone. You're not alone in this diocese. One of the great things about this diocese is the collegiality of it. I missed it. When I left this diocese, I missed deanery meetings. I missed that collegiality. But you won't be alone, because BCA provides pastoral care as well as whatever the pastoral care of that particular diocese is. Every 2 years, well, that's the plan when you don't have COVID, we bring all of our field staff and their families and their kids, they've got to leave the pets behind, but the rest, to a conference. We bring them all together for a week to have some Bible teaching and to get to know each other. Some of these kids have grown up through BCA, seeing each other every 2 years. Your gifts and experience, this is another reason why to serve with BCA, your gifts and experience are so desperately needed. And BCA can make it possible for you to get there. And finally, you will be the focus of thousands of people praying for you. The BCA prayer diary, I've got a few of the BCA prayer diaries if you want hard copy, but it's on the PrayerMate app. You can just sign up and it can be emailed and Facebooked and carrier pigeon. Whatever works for you, we'll get it to you. But every day, thousands of people around Australia pray for our BCA field staff. Today, it's for Jacob and Sarah Kelly down in the Bendigo Diocese, and also for Rob and Michelle Edwards, also in the Bendigo Diocese. Afterwards, have a chat to Kurt and also to George and ask them how many emails they get and text messages they get and letters they get on their day when people are praying for them. And if you're thinking, well, yeah, but Greg, I've heard all that. That's good, but look, it's just not a good time for us. It's just not a good time. Let me tell you something that I've learned in ministry and in my various diocesan roles. There is never a good time. Never a good time. Glenn and Beth McDonald prayed about it. And this is what they said in this Eternity magazine. They said, when we realise there's actually no reason not to go, we thought, well, let's go. And so here we are in Roxby. I visited them, as I said, a couple of weeks ago. They're coming to the end of their 4-year term. They want to go again. I'm happy to say yes. So if you're thinking, yes, but this diocese needs me too, yes, but I'm trying to work with Rod as best as I can to make sure that Armidale Diocese is looked after as much as we can too. But let me just say one more time. If you can give me one good and prayerfully discerned reason why you must stay in this diocese, I will stop asking you.